Well, we are starting a sermon series for Christmas. If you've ever been a pastor, I don't know if I see any of y'all out there, but if you ever have, Christmas is actually a hard time because every year, you know, you're expected around December to start preaching about Christmas, and after you've done it about 10 times, you start running out of different ways to look at Christmas. But this year, what I decided to do is I decided to go to one of those verses that just always stick out to me, and that's Luke chapter 2, and use it as just a place to jump off of, a place to kind of look at. This is where the angels have, one angel first shows up to the shepherds and tells them, you know, that, hey, you know, there's going to be this kid born in a manger. And we remember that part of the story. And then all of a sudden, they look up, and they said the entire sky was filled with a heavenly host. Y'all remember that? And the heavenly host in the NIV, in their translation, says this. It says in verse number 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. Now, that's not how I remember it. That's how the NIV. Here's how I remember it. Charlie Brown Christmas. Are y'all with me? Charlie Brown Christmas. Every year as a kid, I would watch Charlie, and all of a sudden, they would all be up on stage, and Linus, yeah, with a blanket, would come forward, and he would do the whole thing, and he would say, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards man. And you know, that's just an image I have when I read that verse and I hear that. And I think it might be a problem with us because it is so familiar. It is something that we hear over and over and over again. But what I want to just kind of look at just real quick there is hear what he said, this angel, well, not just one angel, but a host of angels filling the sky, said to us that day, recorded in Luke, that they wanted to pronounce glory to God in the highest heaven. And then they said, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. What does it mean, his favor rests? Well, those that accept his son, Jesus Christ. This one that's going to be born in this manger, the one the shepherds were going to see. The heavenly host said that there is a connection between Jesus Christ and peace. And peace. And so often, because we're so familiar with that, we just think it's a throwaway word, and peace and goodwill on earth. You know, y'all know what throwaway words are? You know, it's when you come up to somebody and they look at you and they go, how are you doing? Do they really want you to tell them how you're doing? No, have you ever tried that? Don't. I'm telling you, they don't like it. You know, they say how, they don't. Me and Rebecca, our anniversary was just a few weeks ago, married 27 years. Did I get it right? Thank you. Had to look out before I got up here. 27 years. Right before we got married, Rebecca was living in Decatur, Texas. I was living in Granbury, Texas. I would take this hour trip to see her, and we would go out on dates, and sometimes I would drive from Granbury to Decatur, and then we would drive on to Fort Worth. But sometimes we decided just to stay in Decatur, and at that time, especially, there wasn't much to do in Decatur. Not much at all. But there was a K-Bob Steakhouse. K-Bob Steak. Have you ever been to a K-Bob's? Yeah, you know, K-Bob's. I remember one of our first dates, we went to K-Bob Steakhouse, and we had a steak, and, you know, it wasn't great. It was great being there with Rebecca, but it wasn't great. And I remember thinking at that time, you know, it's not bad enough that I'm going to bring it up. You know, I'm not going to tell the waiter or the manager. But if anybody asks, I am going to say, hey, you know, this wasn't, you know, particularly good, this particular part of it. And so at K-Bob's, instead of having the waiter come and take your check and your credit card and stuff like that, you pay on the way out. Y'all know restaurants like that. And so we're leaving. We've got our ticket. We're going up to the cashier. We set it down, and that little teenage girl, you know, is doing all the checkout. And she looked at me, and she said, well, how was your meal today? And I went, she asked. And so I told her the issues we had, and it was obvious to her, or to me, that was just a throwaway word. She wasn't really asking how my meal was. And when I started telling her, her eyes just got big, like, what am I supposed to do? I've never had anybody actually tell me how their meal was. And she just looked at me and said, well, okay, that'll be 14, you know, whatever, and never, you know, said, let me get the meal. It just hit me that day that so many things that we do are just throwaway words. But what I want to say today is I don't think the angels proclaiming peace as connected with Jesus Christ is a throwaway word. I think it was something very important that they said. I say that because we look in the scriptures and Jesus would continue to use that language of peace. He would say that peace be with you would be kind of a common thing that Jesus would say. Paul, you know, started many of his letters with grace and peace, and he talks about the peace that passes understanding. You know, this incredible thought of peace. So as we enter into Christmas, we're going to spend the next 4 weeks just really diving into peace. I've got a question for you today. Do you think, not just on a worldwide stage, let's narrow it down. Do you think it's possible in your life, right now, with whatever situation you're dealing with, financial situations, family situations, marital situations, health situations, What's the biggest tension that you have in your life? I see some college kids over here. Grades. What to do next? Do you have a wayward kid in your life? What's your biggest point of tension? Now, with that thought in mind, is peace even possible in that situation? Is peace even possible? Now, your first thought may be, well, yeah, it'll be possible. You know, if you're having a marital issue with your spouse, if my husband would just do this, this, and this, we would have peace. Like, yeah, that's where our mind goes. If the situation would change, that's how we accomplish peace. But what I want to ask you today, is there a possibility for peace if nothing changed at all in your physical environment? Let me take it up a notch. What if it got worse? Is there a possibility of peace if your situation you're in right now didn't get better, but it got worse? And what I want to tell you today, and what we're going to look at real quick, is there is a possibility. In every situation, I don't know your situation, but I guarantee there is a possibility of peace through Jesus Christ. Let's get into some verses here. Let's start in Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. In Isaiah 26, 1 through 4, just to give you a little bit of background, what happens there is it's a very tense situation in the nation, kind of like ours. You know, right now it's about as tense as I've seen it politically in our nation. It's about as tense as it gets with this virus that's just hanging over our heads that we prayed against last week. It was a tense situation. And in the middle of this tense national situation, Isaiah got up and proclaimed this prophecy Verse 26, he said, in that day, he's prophesying about a day of peace. He said, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God make salvation its walls and its ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. Now watch this in verse number 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. Isn't that beautiful? He said, here's a prophecy that I'm going to give you. He said that God will keep you in peace, not because of the situation you're in, but because, it says, perfect peace for those whose minds are steadfast in the trust of God. Steadfast in the trust of God. So I want to look at that real quick, because I like that idea of perfect peace. I like perfect peace. In fact, I think so often I have imperfect peace. Does anybody else have imperfect peace? This is what imperfect peace looks like. It's where you kind of get going and go, okay, I'm going to be peaceful, and all of a sudden something else goes wrong, and within 10 minutes, you are just bouncing off the wall with stress, right? It's an imperfect peace. I don't want that anymore. I want a peace that's solid. I want a peace that permeates every bit of my life. I want peace to be what I breathe, and so whatever that situation is, I don't just bounce from one thing to another. This word in the Hebrew is shalom. Y'all heard that word before? Shalom. Shalom means wholeness, completeness, fullness of peace. And in fact, you really have to understand how the Hebrew people thought. We live in a society where our thought press is heavily influenced by a Greek culture. And a Greek culture, that kind of thought process is compartmentalized. And so you probably feel this, right? You've got the church you, and then you've got the work you, and then you've got the family you, and then you've got the out on the ball field you, or whatever you, and they're all kind of compartmentalized. Have you ever met somebody that at church wouldn't utter a cuss word, but you see them on Monday morning and they're just flowing like crazy? That's compartmentalized, right? In this compartment, this is how I need to act. I can have peace here. But as soon as I step here, all that stuff, that's in that compartment. Now we're back in the world, and nothing of that touches any of this, and I can live. Isn't that interesting how we do that? The Hebrews didn't think that way. The Hebrews had a wholeness kind of thing. That it wasn't a compartmentalized life, that how they were on Sunday affected every day of their life, and every day of their life affected their Sunday. It was a wholeness. And so when it says that they had a complete peace, it wasn't just in this area. It was saying that this idea of shalom, just its tentacles went throughout every part of their life. In fact, if you go back and read this in the original Hebrew, it won't just say shalom. It basically says, you will keep in perfect peace, all who trust in you. It has shalom twice there. It was the emphatic way that a writer would say, not just wholeness of peace, but overflowing peace. And that, wouldn't you like to have overflowing peace during this year? I want to tell you how you can get to that point of overflowing peace, where you can walk into a hospital and hear the doctor say the worst thing you could possibly imagine and go, I have overflowing peace right now. You could walk into a job and be called in and be told you are no longer needed there. But at that exact moment, you have overflowing peace. Let's walk through that. Here's the foundational thought. So if you're going to fall asleep, write this one down first, okay? Do that for me. At least you'll get this. The foundational thought of today's message is peace isn't found in the absence of problems. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. Think about that for a second. Peace isn't the absence of problems. You look through the whole book. We talk about this all the time. It's not heaven in this book. Heaven's where we're heading, okay? It's where you were created for, and that's coming. But while you're here, if these guys did not have peaceful situations, more than likely you're not either. But what these guys did is time after time after time, in a lion's den, in a fiery furnace, in the middle of a war, as the Pharaoh is chasing them with chariots, while the Pharisees are attacking, while the Roman in all these different situations, what they found was this, that peace isn't found in the absence of problems. It's found in the presence of God in your life. Anybody have a perfect life? Maybe I'm wrong. maybe if you have a perfect life, come on up and share with us how to have a perfect life, and then we can go. But unless anybody jumps up right now, I'm going to go with this thought, that it's not about having a perfect life. So I'll go back to that thing that you are struggling with right now. The answer to how to have peace in there is to invite the presence of God into that situation. Invite the presence of God in. Now, how do you do that? I just came up with three thoughts. And it's from this verse. In this verse it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." The first thing I want you to see is that the battle for peace always begins in your mind. The battle for peace always begins in your mind. It's how you perceive things. This is an incredible thought that we have of, I don't know if you ever heard this picture of what a human being is. We're kind of like three different parts. We've got this flesh part. Some of our flesh parts, maybe a triple X large kind of flesh part. You might have a very, but we all have flesh. How many of your fleshes are going to heaven? None. Isn't that something else? We look on people and we kind of say, oh, this is who they are. This isn't who you are. This is a tent that you live in. Now, we need to take care of our tent. And we need, and one day we'll have a perfect tent when Jesus comes again and we have a new earth. But this is one part of you, okay? And then we've got another great part over here, and that's our spirit. Y'all have heard that before, right? Everybody is born with a dead spirit because of this world that we live in. But at some point, you can choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as Ryan says, just that process of accepting Jesus Christ can change everything in your life in an instant. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God says, I'm going to put you through some more to mature you. And to prepare you and to help you help other people. And so there's this third part. You've got this perfect spirit that you have. You've got this imperfect flesh that you have. But what's in the middle? That's the soul, this mind, where you choose. That's an everyday process. You have a mind that can choose what you want to see, how you want to perceive it. You can perceive it from the flesh side, or you can perceive it from the spiritual side, but you make that choice every day. Listen, when you get to that point where you go, Blake, I don't have any peace in my life, here's the first thing I want you to go, wait, this starts in my mind. This starts in my mind. It doesn't start with him changing or her changing. It doesn't start with more money or more job security. It doesn't start with any of that. When you get in that place where you don't feel peace, go back to that verse and say, this process starts in my mind. It starts there. The next thing that we see is it says, imperfect, those whose minds are steadfast. Whose minds are steadfast. Here's the thought. Is it's not just a one-time thing. You don't just go, okay, Blake, today I am choosing peace. Now I don't have to think about it anymore. Wouldn't it be great if it was? Wouldn't it be great if you came in here and said, I'm going to join your church today because I know that if I joined your church today, Blake, for the rest of my life, everything's going to be roses. But it's not. He said, for those who realize it starts in the mind and then it is steadfast. I keep coming back to it. I keep coming back to it. I keep coming back to it. In the New Living Translation, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. NIV, those whose minds are steadfast. Here's the word in the Hebrew, samak. Samak means to learn to completely and fully rest oneself. Completely and fully rest oneself. Here you go. I will demonstrate samak to you. Y'all ready? All right? That's it. I trusted that this could handle the weight that I am right now. I trusted that this wasn't just going to go blunk and fall down. I had samak for this. I completely said, you didn't see me do this, did you? I didn't grab a kid and say, sit on that first, and we'll just kind of up the weight slowly. This idea that I'm steadfast, I'm all in. If it's going to fall, I'm going down with it. I'm not barely leaning. I'm not hovering. You know, maybe I could do that, kind of hover. I'm saying, God, oh, that's kind of an interesting, that was not me. Okay, that was not me. I said, I am completely leaning into this. I'm completely saying, if this doesn't hold me up, I don't have anything else that will. This is what God says. God says, for those who realize the battle's in the mind and are willing to say, God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to keep on doing it. And I'm not going to have a plan B. Plan B is out the window. Plan A is the only plan I have, completely leaning into it. If you want that kind of peace in your life, you have to remember the battle for peace begins in your mind, and you can choose, right? What your mind is fixed on. You can choose. And when you choose it, lean into it. What's your mind fixed on today? What do you fix your mind on for peace in your life? How many people fix their mind on CNN or Fox News? Right? That's where my peace is going to come from. My peace is going to come from CNN or Fox News. No. If that's where you're going to find peace, good luck. Good luck. Well, what's your mind fixed on? What do you think of? Like right now, just if you weren't thinking about anything, well, that doesn't make any sense. If you didn't try not to think about things, just what is your mind, just what does it go back to? What does it go back to? Is there an issue it's going back to? Is it going back to it? Is it going back to it? And when you're not thinking about something, what thoughts start coming in? Do we have enough money for retirement? You know, are my kids going to be safe? You know, what are we going? You know, what should I do about this issue? What thought just keeps on permeating your mind? That's what you're fixed on right now. The Bible says, if you want peace, keep on bringing it back to God. The New Testament's full of it, right? Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Fix your thoughts on what is true, and honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And you know what verse 9 says? Then the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that interesting? You know, when you start letting your mind drift to those things that are causing you stress, you go this. You go, the battle's in my mind. I have the ability to choose. And I'm going to completely trust in God. And I'm going to start thinking about things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. It's like this, in the middle of whatever it is, it's like doing this. Now I've got some peace. And I can still take care of whatever it is I need to take care of. But that peace that will be with me is God's peace. Here's the third one, and I just want you to grab this. Consistent focus is better than proficient focus. Consistent focus is better. Because here's what you're going to do, right? I don't know how to do that, Blake. I don't know how to start, renewing my mind. I don't know how to get, God into what I'm doing. Well, just start being consistent about it, okay? Just start being consistent. Here's your first idea. Have a quiet time in the morning. Start with God's Word. Start with God's Word. I've tried that. It doesn't work. Consistency. Don't go with, if I get God's Word, this morning, life did not change. I'm not going to do that. What's next? Consistency. Just every day. How much should I do? How much? Whatever you want to do. You can do one verse, but do it consistently. And put some of God's Word in your life every morning. Now the second thing would be, when those stressful situations happen, focus in on what you read that morning. Consistently. Like, it didn't work today. Okay, do it again tomorrow. Do it again tomorrow. Do it again tomorrow. Because what are you doing? You are saying, I fully trust this. This is plan A, and I'm just going to keep on doing it. And it's going to take a little bit, because you're focused on the world right now. And to move that over to where you're focused on God isn't going to just happen like that. But if we do it consistently and not worry, I can't do a 30-minute quiet time. Good, do a 2-minute quiet time. You might work up to 30 minutes. You might work up to an hour. But be consistent with what you do. Start doing it. And as soon as those things, let the red flag go. And let me tell you a third thing. Listen to this verse. It says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything. Does that sound like peace? Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a third thing. Wake up in the morning, put some scripture in. Through the day, make yourself focus on what it is that God's told you that morning. And at night, simply do this. Think of one or two things you can thank God for every night. Just every night, just stop for a minute. Because what happens when you go to bed, you don't think of the things you can thank God for. You think of the problems. And when you focus on the problems, you lose the peace. How about this? With thanksgiving. End your night every night with going, all right, God, through all the junk that happened today, what is one thing I can be thankful for? And then consistently do that. Well, Blake, does this work? Yeah. Acts chapter 16. We'll end on this. In Acts chapter 16, we covered this when we did all the way through Acts, but I want you to think about it again. And Paul and Silas have just healed someone, a lady that was just rambling on and on. And in 16, it says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. They were mad because they healed this girl, and she couldn't tell the future anymore. And this is 16, verse 22. It says, the crowd joined in. Paul and Silas and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. That doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? After they had severely flogged them, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet with stocks. Now, that's about as far from peaceful as you can get. Now, it doesn't say this, but here's what I think happened. I think Paul looked at Barnabas and said, it starts in our mind, bud. We got a choice here. We got a choice. We can look at the situation we're in and start woeing me and be stressed out and tense because we don't know what can happen, or we can go with plan A. And we can say, I'm going to focus on God. And in verse number 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. When you do this, when you start experiencing peace, you don't have to learn how to share the gospel. You should learn how to share the gospel. But when you start living this life, this shares the gospel. Other people are going, how do you do that? How in the middle of your situation can you have peace? And you can tell them about what the angel said that night. Peace for all people because of this baby that is coming to this world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to just thank you right now for your peace. And God, I know that in this room there's a lot of stressful situations. But as a church, God, help us to pull together and just, instead of praying for situations to change, God, give us a desire instead to say, God, we want to invite you into each of those situations. God, your presence is peace. God, as we talk about this for the next few weeks, God, let us be a church known in this community of a whole bunch of people fighting a whole lot of issues that are just sitting in your peace. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, this morning, as I was bringing up some of those stressful situations, maybe you said, I'd like to invite God in right now. A great way to do it, the Bible says, is through prayer and petition. Just taking time to pray and say, God, come into my situation. I'm going to be down front. I've been loved to pray with you. Of course, the other thing is the presence of God is where peace is. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You've never just stopped and said, Jesus, I want to confess you as Lord. And believe in my heart that you died on the cross and rose from the dead, defeating sin. You've never allowed that to come into your life. I'd love to share that with you this morning. During this time of reflection, I'll be down front.